From the network that brought you Armenia Proud and Surreal Talk comes a podcast based on a true story. When Blake Bamper was a boy, he dreamed of hosting a podcast. And now as a man, he finally got his chance to stand in the pantheon of podcast legends. LineupMedia.fm presents Grab Your Popcorn.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Grab Your Popcorn here on lineupmedia.fm. If you're listening to us, you're listening to us through lineupmedia.fm. Check us out online. We're a vast podcasting network with numerous shows that anyone can enjoy. So that's us at lineupmedia.fm. This is Grab Your Popcorn. I'm your host, Blake Bamper. We're going to be taking you through some movie reviews as well as a segment I call Real News, R-E-E-L, News, because I like puns. So, let's get right to it. We're diving right in into some real news. So, some sad news kind of to start out the show. On Monday, August 14th, a stunt driver was killed on the set of Deadpool 2 during a motorcycle stunt gone wrong. Her name was S.J. Harris, and she was known as the first African-American female professional road racer. And Deadpool 2 was supposed to be her film debut. 20th Century Fox put out a statement saying that they, quote, are deeply saddened by the accident that occurred on the set of Deadpool 2 this morning. Our hearts and prayers are with the family, friends, and colleagues of our crew member during this difficult time. Deadline had reported that the previous stunt double did have a helmet outfitted to go under the Domino wig. That's S.J. Harris was playing Domino, was stunt doubling for the actress playing Domino. And so there's a wig involved, as I understand it, and the helmet was not specially made for her because she had only joined the film last Wednesday. So very recently that she had been on the project, and they didn't have time to get the helmet made for her. So just a big tragedy. Just be something to keep in mind, you know, when you're watching these films, watching these action movies, which one of the films we'll get into later had some great stunts, and I'm sure some great stunt people. So just be more appreciative of stunt men and women out there really making these action sequences come to life and really making these action movies worth watching, because without them, you know, some of these actors wouldn't be able to do the things that or do the roles that they're able to take on because of great stunt doubles like this woman, S.J. Harris, who unfortunately now has passed away. So from Grab Your Popcorn, our thoughts and prayers are with her family and her colleagues and friends. Hopefully Deadpool 2 can honor her memory by bringing joy to millions of people and being a good, successful movie that people can have fun with. Just a terrible tragedy that happens in the world of film. So just to acknowledge that. Moving on. Now, next in real news, MoviePass, a subscription service for theaters and movies, has dropped their prices now to $9.95 a month. Now you can spend $9.95 a month and see up to one movie a day at any movie theater in America. I believe their last metric said that 91% of movie theaters were on board with this. The theater-based subscription run by Netflix co-founder Mitch Lowe originally had a tiered system with monthly fees ranging from $15 to $50 a month, and that was just last year. Tuesday, August 15th, MoviePass announced that Helio and Matheson Analytics, which is a data and analytics firm, had acquired a majority stake in the company, which allowed them to introduce this new single $9.95 a month plan. It looks like Helio's and Matheson will be that company will be using the data from MoviePass to monitor audiences' behaviors and their viewing habits, which those analytics could make a boatload of money if you're selling them to studios, advertisers, really anybody in the business can benefit from those hardcore analytics that you'd be getting. And at this point, now that the average movie ticket in America, from an article that I read, said that $9.33 is the average movie ticket in America. So $9.95 a month. At $9.95 a month, you only need to see two movies to put MoviePass under, because of course they're going to be covering the costs for all these tickets that their subscribers would be using with their subscription service. And it seems they're willing to take that loss, because now the analytics that they gain from their subscribers, they'll be able to use and sell to bigger companies to make that money back. But as of today, now it seems that AMC, which is the largest theater chain in America, is going to seek to withdraw from their partnership with MoviePass. And reports today suggest that they're lawyering up, they're getting ready for some sort of legal battle to get out of their contract. And they say the model is unsustainable because $10 a month isn't enough to maintain movie theaters or for filmmakers to produce quality work, which this just seems like a cop-out to me. I mean, I don't understand why AMC, if they're still getting the money for all of their tickets just from a larger company and not out of consumers' pockets, what's there to be upset about? I don't understand this at all. This seems almost petty, I guess. But I'm sure more information will be coming out soon. But at first glance, this just seems like it doesn't make sense for AMC to do. I mean, you know, if it seems like they're missing out on a big opportunity. If they're still getting all the money from their for their movie tickets, then they will still get all the money necessary to operate the theaters, and filmmakers will still get all the money necessary to produce quality films. So it just seems like an odd thing to be defensive about something that I believe a lot of moviegoers are excited about. I know I'm excited about it. I can't wait to pay $10 a month to just see any movie that I want every day of the month, which I would be in there every day of the month. I mean, I've been seeing a lot of movies, you know, reviewing for this show. And so a service like this at $10 a month would help me out greatly. I mean, I still have to pay for these things right now, but... enough about me. I just think that AMC is missing out on a big opportunity, and I think another theater chain will come in to capitalize on this. You know, there's a Werenberg in the same driving distance as my nearest AMC. Well, maybe not the same driving distance, but you get the point. You know, so if a company like Werenberg is more willing to work with MoviePass, then they could see their sales and their attendance go up. And I mean, if you're in the theater already and you already have a movie ticket, you're likely going to spend that money elsewhere, likely at the concession stand. I mean, if I go into a movie and I no longer have to pay $10 for every single movie ticket, I can now use that money to buy popcorn, hot dogs, and they've been, AMC especially, I've noticed, has been upgrading a lot of their food items, introducing more high-end food items. So I just don't get why they wouldn't want the attendees at their theaters to have more disposable income. It just seems very weird to me. It seems very petty that they're trying to lawyer up and combat what everyone seems to think is a good thing, as far as I know. More information will surely come out about that, so we might have more for that for you on the next Real News. And lastly, the tech giant Apple is set to spend $1 billion, that's 1 billion with a B, on original television and TV, on original television series and films in the next year, as they're looking to establish themselves as a buyer of premium entertainment, according to the Wall Street Journal. Apple could be poised to acquire as many as 10 high-caliber series with that billion-dollar budget. And they had already signaled, you know, their intentions to become a significant player in this space of video streaming by hiring Zach Van Amberg and Jamie Ehrlicht. I think I'm reading that wrong, but you get it. This is the duo that was behind The Blacklist and Breaking Bad, two shows that were hits. Breaking Bad, which I think is the greatest drama to ever be on TV. They still, with a budget of $1 billion, though, Apple is going to be well behind the titans in this space of video streaming like Netflix, Amazon, and HBO, who spend $7 billion, $4.5 billion, and $2 billion on original content, respectively. So this seems like it's going to be a test run for Apple almost, because really $1 billion, I mean, we all know Apple. Pretty much everyone that I know has an iPhone. almost everyone I know has an iPhone, I should say. But beside the point, they have, I believe they grossed $261 billion of profit. So that $1 billion is pretty much just a drop in the bucket. So it looks like they're going to be seeing what they can do with up to, it looks like a maximum of 10 premium TV series that they could afford with this $1 billion. So it looks like they're going to kind of get their feet wet in this space before they dive in head first. But it leads to, you know, this is just going to be another subscription service that we have to pay for, right? Last week we talked about Disney aiming to create their own subscription service, and now Apple is looking at creating their own subscription service. And it seems that this is the space that everybody's really trying to get into. So we'll see how they fight it out. It's going to come down to, in my opinion, owned original content. And whoever has the best fully owned original content will win these streaming wars as they look to kind of shape up. So we'll certainly be talking about that more and more in the weeks to come on Real News. We're going to get into some movie reviews now. First, we have The Glass Castle, a movie starring Brie Larson and Woody Harrelson, two of my favorite actors. So the synopsis for this film, it's based on a memoir. Four siblings learn to take care of themselves as their responsibility-averse, free-spirit parents both inspire and inhibit them. When sober, the children's brilliant and charismatic father, Rex Walls, played by Woody Harrelson, captured their imagination, teaching them physics, geology, and how to embrace life fearlessly. But when he drank, he was dishonest and destructive. Meanwhile, their mother abhorred the idea of domesticity and didn't want to take on the work of raising a family. This story is centered around Jeanette Walls, who's played by Brie Larson. She's our main focus of, or I'm presuming she was the main focus and writer of the memoir. And she is our main character in this film. She is the second oldest daughter of four children. She has an older sister, a younger brother, and then lastly, a younger sister. A lot of this story took place in flashbacks as she's trying to deal with her dysfunctional parents now as an adult. And it kind of set up an interesting, kind of a nice flow and a good pace for this narrative. But I felt the plot relied on a few cliches of the whole broken family film and sometimes seemed kind of confused about how it really gets from A to B. Like, the plot knows where it's going. They knew where they wanted to go with this movie. But in some cases, the journey, in my opinion, just gets kind of lost. And it really creates for kind of a – it flows very well, but there are certain things you feel like you're missing in the story that should have been there but aren't. Woody Harrelson, of course, as I said, one of my favorite actors. I really like him in just about anything he's in. He's a very – as a person, Woody Harrelson's a very free-spirited guy, so this role is perfect for him, but we see him in a lot of serious roles as well. And he really showed off his range in this one. As I said, the father is a big drinker, and he really inspires these kids. He has some great scenes where he's talking with a lot of emotion and saying very heartfelt things to his children. But then he gets on the bottle, and things start to go, you know, not so good. So Woody Harrelson was really able to show off his range in some cases as the benevolent, intelligent, charismatic father, but then also as the alcoholic, destructive, you know, very immature, possessive kind of man. And it's almost a Jekyll and Hyde type story, honestly, because you're looking at it and you see his great character come through, and that shines through throughout the film. You can get the sense that this Rex Walls character is he tries as hard as he can to be a good man, but the bottle man, that'll get the best of him. And Woody Harrelson does a great job in his portrayal. It feels very realistic, and he's really able to show off his range, as I said. Brie Larson, also one of my favorite actors, really excelled in her role. But one thing I felt was that the overall writing of this film kind of limited these two actors. Some of the scenes that I felt were supposed to be more emotional, really cut at your heartstrings, really, really cut deep, they didn't. They kind of failed to do that. Some of the scenes that seemed like they were supposed to be very emotional almost came off as toothless, and it gave a feel that this movie didn't really accomplish the maximum aim. The plot's a little messy, as I said, and the writing certainly could have been better. But for the merits of these two actors, I'll go ahead and give this movie 2.5 out of 5 buckets, right there at 50%. I think there were definitely some big flaws that brought it down to that 2.5 rating. So that's it, 2.5 out of 5 buckets. Still, if you're a fan of drama and if you're a fan of these two actors, definitely grab your popcorn and go see this one, because it is worth it. Just a few flaws that you'll be able to note throughout this movie. Now, the next movie I saw, The Hitman's Bodyguard. This movie actually comes out this coming weekend, and thanks to one of the producers here at lineupmedia.fm, I was able to get passes to an early screening. So the synopsis for this one: the world's top protection agent, Michael Bryce, played by Ryan Reynolds, is called upon to guard the life of his mortal enemy, Darius Kincaid, played by Samuel L. Jackson, one of the world's most notorious hitmen. The relentless bodyguard and the manipulative assassin have been on the opposite side of the bullet for years and years, and then are suddenly thrown together for a wildly outrageous 24 hours. During their journey from England to Haug, they encounter high-speed car chases, outlandish boat escapades, and a merciless Eastern European dictator, played by Gary Oldman, who is out for blood. I really enjoyed this film. I really felt like it was a fun thrill ride throughout, and it really achieves the maximum aim. The comedy in this, I thought, was fresh. Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson have a great give and take, great back and forth between the two of them. I mean, some of the parts in this film are just so funny when they're kind of trying to outdo each other, really sizing each other up. Because as I said in the synopsis, they had been on the opposite side of the bullet for years. And this movie kind of delves into that history that the two characters have as well. So I really enjoyed that. But there were certain things that brought this movie down. The plot was semi-predictable, but did have some good surprises in there. I thought Salma Hayek's performance was very surprising. She played Samuel L. Jackson's character's wife. So Sonia, yes, Sonia Kincaid, that's the name. And she did, I thought, an absolutely great job. Also, Gary Oldman pitched in his supporting role. He played a great villain as that Eastern European dictator that I mentioned. But like I said, the dialogue, you know, very funny, very funny. Ryan Reynolds is in there doing his thing. We all know from what we've seen of him in movies like Waiting and Deadpool that he certainly has his own brand of humor that he brings to most of the roles that he's in. And the same with Samuel L. Jackson. Whenever he's in a comedic role, we can see him really kind of come alive and just give it his all and give us a great performance. And I felt like they really, really delivered. You know, some of the reviews for this movie were a little more on the negative side. I saw one article that said the movie was worse than its poster. And I don't really understand that. I don't understand that at all. I thought this was a very fun time at the movies. I took a buddy with me, and he even thought it was he thought it was better than I did. You know, so I don't think I'm alone in saying that this is just a lot of fun at the movies. And for that reason, I'm going to go ahead and give it 3.75 out of 5 buckets, or 3 3/4 buckets, whatever you want to call it. I didn't feel like it was quite good enough for 4, but also not bad enough to be just a 3.5. I thought it was above that. So that's my definitive rating, 3.75 buckets. Definitely grab your popcorn and go see this movie, The Hitman's Bodyguard. It'll be out in theaters this coming weekend. And, you know, I just don't get all the negativity around it. It knew what it was. It didn't try to be something it wasn't. And it delivered both on the comedy and on the action. So I'm not really sure what all flaws everyone's finding in this movie. It just seems like people want to find flaws in action movies these days. Or maybe my opinion is totally off base. You know, let me know in our Facebook and Twitter at Popcorn Pod. And go ahead, if you liked this episode, go ahead, subscribe, listen to the other ones. Be sure to check us out on lineupmedia.fm, several podcasts like this one. For Grab Your Popcorn, for producer Andrew Allen, I'm your host, Blake Bamper, and that does it for me. I'll see you next week.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.